are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Never have I ever bet against McEnroe to win a Grand Slam. How about you, Mindy?
Does that mean I have to drink?
Do tennis players win a Grand Slam? I think I messed that up completely.
Go sports team. Put the thing in the slam? Thing for the points.
Also with
isn't
us.
Isn't that a meal at Denny's?
That yeah, is.
I don't know what else that might be.
Free promotion. But that was Harmony, and we're here to talk about the Netflix series run, written by creators Lang Fisher and Mindy Kaling, Never Have I Ever. A story about a teenage girl, Debbie, who's just getting over some serious trauma and a serious mental and physical injury of being unable to walk. This year, she declares, will be different. Because she's going to make friends, have sex with a hot guy, and be an all-around awesome person who is not going to wallow in grief. 10-episode show streaming on Netflix. Harmony, what did you think of the show?
I really enjoyed it. I found it sweet and quirky in that good, awkward teen, that perfect little niche of like, oh, this is awkward and painful, but it's actually kind of cute at the same time. The actress who plays Davey, I thought she's amazing.
She beat 15,000 people who auditioned for that role. It was an open call.
She was so good. So good.
Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her name. Well, okay, I will, and I apologize beforehand. So, Mate Ray Ramakrishnan. So,
sounds good.
I think Ramakrishnan, I think I pronounced correctly. Your first name, I apologize.
So apologize, but you're amazing. If you ever hear this, you're amazing, and I loved it. She was the right level of vulnerable and sassy, and what I kind of expect from Mindy Kaling, because she writes these kind of snarky characters, and you know, it was a really good thing that not starring her. Like, I was actually surprised that she wasn't in it at all. So that Mindy Kaling's, you know, she's not in it. She's the showrunner and the writer and producer and everything. But I really enjoyed it. I love anything that has teaches me a little bit more about different cultures, and especially like trying to normalize different religions, different cultures in the U.S. is always a positive for me.
Oh, absolutely. Now they talked about Ganesh in one episode. They talked about Krishna.
They're very
a lot of
very
Hindu beliefs.
Obviously Hindu, yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And the great thing about that is she actually goes through, after she explains Hinduism to her maybe lover Paxton, she actually does a list through all the other things that people from India also believe. And he goes, okay, you don't have to explain India's entire culture country to me.
Yes.
And that's Paxton, played by Darren Barnett. Super sexy hunk heartthrob.
Yes.
On the ridiculous side, he looks like a Calvin Klein model. Excellent performance. And he's a swimmer. And I would not be surprised if this actor was training for the Olympics, because he definitely has. You know what? I'm going to stop talking about how hot this dude is.
Yeah, I think you're getting a little too into it.
Yeah.
Well, he did play lacrosse.
No, he was a beautiful,
apparently.
Beautiful boy.
Yeah. I assume you're passing it to me because there's nobody else to pass it to. But I really enjoyed this. I originally was going to give this show a pass because Mindy Kaling stuff can be very biting. It can be very mean-spirited, and that is not something that I'm into. But Netflix happened to play the trailer when, you know, you're looking for your thing and it pops up a trailer. Mm-hmm. And it was snarky, but also silly. And I'm like, silly is my jam. And snarky is also my jam. It's like, I am cool with things being absolutely ridiculous, but fuck is a word in everyone's vocabulary. That is my sense of humor. And right. This show, it's really well done in that the main character is a 15-year-old. And, you know, it is hard for a child actor who has not had life experience to be good. You know, there are plenty mm-hmm. of child actors who just aren't. And they're hired because right. that's the best you can do at that age. But she...
And you're cute.
But she is... yeah. She carries it with a combination of being likable, but at the same time, mm-hmm. not being perfect. It is very, very clear right. that she is a hothead. It is very, very clear that she is making mistakes. And... you acknowledge that and you relate to that and you relate to these problems mm-hmm. she's having with her mother. You relate to the problems she's having at school and then you relate to the problems that those kids are having. And it doesn't feel like just a stupid teen drama. It feels like realistic problems. Like one of them is dealing with her sexuality that, as an mm-hmm. actress, the actress was a bit over the top, but it's like, okay, I will let that slide. And
do you remember being a drama nerd?
I remember being a drama nerd, but whenever there are drama nerds like that, it's like, no, yes, we sang show tunes every chance we got, but we did not lie on the ground to commiserate our friend in wheelchairs. You know, it's like... you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. And you know, on top of that, there's a lot of, like, really deep, you know, emotional stuff. Because the trauma that you mentioned is the fact that her dad died. And she's dealing with that. Yes. And normalizing going to therapy. And how it's not always...
Niecy Nash is amazing wonderful. In anything she does. And she's the therapist, and I love her. And I would die for that woman.
Yeah, and so it's... And as you said, it normalizes a lot of stuff. Like I said, it normalizes therapy. Mm-hmm. It normalizes the immigrant story, too. Because that was one mm-hmm. thing that really got me. Because, like, it tells a story of being the hyphenated American, and which I right. can relate to somewhat because I was an immigrant in Kenya. So it's like there is a dichotomy of being an American versus being an American Indian. So it's like, yes, you still right. have American culture, but you still have these aspects of this other culture, and you're trying to figure out how to make them blend together. So it's like in a lot of shows that want to show a quote-unquote culture, it's usually like, this is my culture and this is the entirety of what I am. And it's like, no, that's not how people are. So it's like, yes, you have a snippet, but you know, you have this over here. And I thought that was really refreshing with a lot of it. It's like everybody seemed very well-rounded in every aspect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all the children look like children.
They look like children.
You know, just from a cast. Yeah, they look like teenagers, you know, instead of looking like, you know, early 20-something-year-olds who are playing yeah. high school students. Yeah.
Old people playing high schoolers. Yeah. Right. The teachers yeah. that have to specify their students, so the cast and yeah. the viewers know. I hear what you're saying. Well, what I liked is they all kind of felt and would pontificate how ugly they felt. Like, I wish I was hot. And me, I'm like, oh, brother, you're not an ugly kid. That's stupid. But as the show would go on and the heart would come out, I would see and I felt like, oh my gosh, I remember even mm-hmm. the most beautiful kids in my class feeling ugly. This is one of those relatable yeah. situations you brought up earlier. Like, and it sucks. Being a teenager sucks.
Sucks so much.
And also, it's like the main.
And it's so honest about
the main conflicts too are not stereotypes. Like even the boy that starts out being the antagonist, you find out who he is as a person, and it's like the conflicts are not people; they're situations and how they react to situations. And that I liked too. I don't like it as just like you have the mean girl and the mean guy, and it's just like you don't hate anybody; you just see them make bad choices,
right?
Which makes them relatable.
Yeah, our main character Devi. Exactly. Like Devi is an overachiever and she takes pride in that. But that's one aspect of her character. Her rival, Ben, played by Jaron Lewison, very talented actor, I think. I look forward to seeing both of them in future projects. He's also an overachiever, and their rivalry makes the best back and forth commentary between the two actors, I think. And that's just one aspect of both their characters.
Yeah, you have a show that entirely focuses on why he is the way he is, and then you're like, okay. And then he changes too. Everybody changes in response to the situations that are happening as well.
And we have multi-layered characters. Yes,
and we have a special needs character who is not pitied or. You know, she's beautiful. She's smart.
She's a fashion. She's going into fashion.
And I love that so much that, you know, showing that people with special needs can be whatever they want to be, you know. And this girl, I didn't catch the actress's name.
What?
The who played Rebecca.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to find her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rebecca's the character. Yeah. I was just, you know, and it was somebody who
Lily D. Moore
was. Yes, she's obviously a person with Down syndrome, but that was never like a plot point about her. You know what I mean? It was like just kind of like, yeah, you know, this is what it is. And I'm anything that, again, normalizes stuff that we all freak out about is. Awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, it is a plot point in a realistic way, in that one of the things that Paxton has always been protective of her, and probably because you know she has been bullied. So,
but it was like one episode.
Yeah, it was one episode thing.
And it was just a little.
And
piece
that was the thing
it.
About the diversity is like it touches on things in a realistic way. It's like these people wouldn't be excluded from any of these quote-unquote issues that come up from either their race or their sexuality or, you know, that special needs or whatever it is, but in a way that's realistic to a rounded character.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, like Paxton isn't, and this is what I really liked, and also about that performance, he's not a protector in a noble way. He's an asshole about it because he just assumes the worst in people, which really works out to his character and kind of gives you insight into him, not as Paxton actually has a heart of gold. I do think he has a heart of gold, but
he's also a teenage boy.
He was defending his sister. Yeah, he's also a teenage boy. Exactly. Right. And I really like that because, you know, a lot of these teenage characters don't have a lot of relatable character in their lives these days. And so I really I hope this show takes off.
Me too. I would love to see more of this.
Oh, absolutely. But one person
and the adult
we haven't talked about. Go ahead. John McEnroe.
Oh my God.
John McEnroe.
I love John fucking McEnroe.
The shows are narrated mainly by John McEnroe with one guest starring Andy Samberg. And I love that. That's what got me into the show was the fact that it is narrated by these people who flat out say, "Hi, I'm John McEnroe. Hi, I'm Andy Samberg." They're not hiding it's not just an anonymous narrator. No, it's John McEnroe and Andy Samberg. And yet, despite them being like, wait, why would you hire this person? It absolutely makes sense in relation to the show. And I loved that. Yeah. It's so random and yet
they were
fitting.
Able to make it. And they were able to make it all make sense, all kind of be wrapped up together. And I think there were moments in the show that, you know, I laughed out loud. And definitely that last episode I felt like I was just tearing up and
I cried
and I'm not Like, I was just like, hold it together. You know? Yeah, I put on mascara. I can't cry. And oh, it's everything's really touching, and any of the fights in with the adults are believable fights. They're just not like just thrown out of proportion. Like, oh, you went to a party and you're bad because of that. No, it's this deep down rooted trauma that both Devi and her mom have suffered. There's still even more to that. There's the stuff that happened before the trauma that they talk about. There's just this mother-daughter miscommunication.
And then just combined with their personalities just in general, too. And it goes back to these characters are very well-rounded.
Yeah. Camilla.
I love Camilla.
The who's just kind of beautiful. She's just, but she's like an engineer. You know what I mean? She's like, she's beautiful, and everybody just kind of sees that. But she's really smart, and she doesn't want to, you know, jump into arranged marriages, which is a plot point for her.
Well, that was one thing that I found really interesting. Yeah. Was like, you know, there's several episodes that focus on Indian culture and the fact that mm-hmm. acknowledging it or not acknowledging it based on who the person is and how they connect to being Indian in America. And what I loved about that episode in particular, where it's, you know, the cousin is dealing with her parents have arranged a marriage, and so she's meeting this guy for the first time, is that it, you know, you're there thinking it's like, oh, she's going to be an American girl. She's been watching Riverdale. She's going to, you know, run off with her boyfriend. And it turns that trope on its head of the acknowledging her Indian side while at the same time not making it cliche or a defeat. Yeah, right. And that happens a lot. It's like, here you have this situation that could come out really cliche and really, you know, inducing. But again, going back to being well-rounded, it's like, this makes sense in the situation, even if it does, on mm-hmm. paper, come across as tropey, it doesn't come across that way in presentation.
Right.
Because it's still believable, even if tropes are tropes for a reason, because they, you know, sometimes happen, you know?
And I do like how it kind of messes with the audience even a little bit, because mm-hmm. I was born in America, and as a red-blooded American, I say, nay, arranged marriages, no way, freedom first. But when she opened that door and saw the guy on the other side who was to be her arranged partner, I was like, damn, Camilla, jump on that. That's a match made in heaven, you know.
Get it.
And as a parent myself, there are several occasions when my preteen, soon-to-be teen son, I think, why can't I arrange someone for this guy? But that's a different conversation. Why don't we head into our final thoughts? I'm going to be strange and lead it since I haven't talked in a while. Sorry about that.
How dare you?
We're sorry.
I adore this show. I will admit there are some things I didn't like. It made me feel very old a lot of the time. Like Camilla watching Riverdale, as you called it. It's Riverdale?
Yeah.
I remember those comics. I have no idea what this show is past season 1.
It is
so that made me feel
dark. Weird. I haven't watched it, but it's like a murder mystery that has like all the Archie characters. It's so surreal.
Cool, it's Archie erotic fan fiction.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. With murder.
Maybe I'll give it another shot. Well, Devi said something like, if I could hook you two up, you'll be just like Zidane and Janine or someone.
It was Betty and Jughead.
Like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who she's referencing. Zane and my wife's like, really? Jadine. You don't? Yeah, so I felt super old is what I'm saying, watching a lot of this show because I didn't understand the teen references. But I love the stories that this show told among all the characters. Fabiola, her friend, learning to accept herself. And to come out to her parents. Beautiful story. I liked Eleanor's abandonment story. It was played as a joke at first, and then suddenly the rug's pulled out from under you and you actually feel the heartache of what that situation would be like. I loved that. Devi's entire journey from being a selfish, spoiled brat who has every right to be since she's a teenager, one, and two, she suffered such a traumatic, horrible thing that I can't even imagine. Especially in the context of the show of how everything went down. So sad. Oh, man. I'm going to give this 8 Fortnite references out of 10 high school gossip groups.
Let's see. Who's next? I'll go.
Yeah, yeah,
yay, Harmony, yay. So, yaying my own name. Okay, anyways. I adored this as well. This was so heartwarming and refreshing in a way that, you know, I felt for all these characters. All these characters felt real to me. Their issues felt real. None of it really felt contrived or annoying in that kind of way. You know what I mean? It's like I could absolutely see kids of this age having these type of stories, and just completely was pulled into it. It was so much fun. John McEnroe, like, he could just narrate my life and I'll be it'd be heavy. Just a lot more throwing of things, I think, would be just awesome. Like I said, Niecy Nash, I would die for her in anything she does. The girl who plays Debbie, I just, so mature and so vulnerable, and I can't speak highly enough about it. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 awkward TikTok moments. Do you even know what a TikTok is?
I do.
I loved that. Okay, there you go. That was hilarious, especially when the mom went, got her and made her put on a shirt.
Got her a shirt.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well,
and Mindy. Yes.
Oh.
Go on. Final thoughts.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. As I keep harping on, this show has characters that are so well-rounded, and interactions, the main thing is, like, the interactions between the characters is that they go through such realistic things, which in other sitcoms and other teen dramas come across as just over the top and unrealistic, but here they make sense. The characters respond accordingly, and it's not cookie cutter reactions to everything. Like, Debbie is a hothead, and it comes to a point where her friends are like, we get your trauma, but it doesn't excuse you from being an asshole to everybody. So it's like, right. It's not just cookie cutter by the book interactions, which a lot of this type of stuff is, and it's so refreshing. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you know, as you were saying, Harmony, the normalization of a different culture, like that episode mm-hmm. that dealt with the Ganesh festival, that could easily have mm-hmm. been a Christmas special. It just happens right. to be the religious ceremony of another culture. And again, normalizing mm-hmm. that kind of stuff is wonderful, but at the same time, it's still very much, this is an American celebration too. It normalizes the American immigrant story, which they even joke about. They came in on September 2001, which is not a good time for brown people to be in this country. And so it's like normalizing it and saying these are human beings and these are even American human beings, and normalizing that is a wonderful mm-hmm. thing. And then on top of that too, we haven't mentioned him, but the guy who plays the dad, because he's there in flashbacks,
and hallucinations
sends a lot of heart and a lot of soul into it as well. And so it's just like all around, it's this funny story that even when things go off the wall, like being attacked by a coyote, it seems realistic
in the middle of Burbank,
right? It seems realistic. And there are times where it gets incredibly heartfelt. All the characters are likable, even when you want to slap them for making mistakes and saying horrible things. All of these are flawed humans, which make them lovable. So definitely give this a watch. It's wonderful. There is a part of me that wonders just how much of it is Mindy Kaling's childhood, because it is based mm-hmm. on her life growing up in Boston.
Oh, yep. Wow.
So yeah. I'm going to give it 9 boxes of candy that you give to your host because you always have to bring a gift when you go somewhere, damn it.
Even if you're pissed off.
Even if
it.
You are pissed off, you have to have a box of candy.
Yeah.
That's so charming. I really want to adopt that after this pandemic is over and
no matter what,
we're allowed to go outside.
It's again. Like, hey, yeah. I came here to get my bag. Here's some cookies.